Yes. I just want to say we received these little flyers when we arrived. It's just for us a suggestion if we are able to hand them out against next Sunday. So if you have any friend or neighbor or any person you want to, you know, hand them over to invite people for our breakfast service for next Sunday. And I really value the time we spend together, which is why we come here. Because you spend time with people you love, right? And spend time with people you value. You like spending time around them because there is something that you gain from them. And of course, if you are part of someone, maybe in marriage or you belong together, if you don't spend time together, then I don't see how we're going to grow. For example, in marriage, as we all know, communication is the key. And as we spend time together, we communicate. We tend to find out their likes and things they don't like and so on and so forth. So that's why I come. I like to spend time with people I value, people I love, and also learn one thing or two along the line. So as we continue to try to cultivate an awareness of God's presence, yeah, last Sunday I used the one that is quite rough, abrasive, and harsh, one side of it. But as you will agree with me, God doesn't mind. He wouldn't mind if we are sometimes stubborn. I'm sure he doesn't mind. Sometimes we come to him with all our faults and all our regrets and things that in us that we feel that will make us not qualified to come to his presence. So, but today, I thank you, Judy, for bringing this to me. But it is nice, yeah. So as we look through all these, as I'm bringing to us what these thoughts, remember the very first Sunday in October, I brought us the thought, juxtaposing the rock and the sponge. And you remember, I tried to make a case that the rock is Jesus Christ. When God hid Moses in between the cleft and the rock, I believe that's Jesus Christ hiding us in Christ. And also when David prayed, "Take not your spirit from me," he was just making it open to the Lord that he couldn't exist in 1 minute without him. He's like the sponge, as absorbing God's presence. And last Sunday also, we looked at living water. And Jesus said, "Let the bride and the spirit say, come. And let he who comes, whoever comes, receive the water of life." And as Jesus offered that lady the living water, we should also offer people the living water. And also make ourselves aware that wherever we are, we are not going to be taken out of the presence of God. He's always, always with us. And then remember, I said I was looking at it in this way with the acronym I've brought us, ART. You know, I'm not going to soak it in water this morning, but we absorb God's presence, and then we shouldn't keep the presence of God, the gift of God, the blessings of God to ourselves. We should release them, so that others will be blessed. And as we do, we ourselves are transformed. As much as people that we bless, they are transformed. People that receive grace of God from us, through us, they get transformed. We ourselves also get transformed. So today, I'm bringing us the topic, the essence of transformation. And I would like us to just look at those verses up there. If you have it in your Bible, you can keep them open. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. If we can read together, please, is it possible? Let's read. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So these verses illustrate to us that the essence of transformation lies in a deep and ongoing spiritual process. It's an ongoing process. It's not about an outward change. We are still the same outwardly, but inwardly, we are renewed. And then this renewal manifests in the life that is aligned with God's character and his will. And the Holy Spirit plays a very crucial role in this transformation. He is the one that enables us as believers in Christ to reflect Christ's image and also to transform our world. 2 Corinthians, especially the apostle speaking there, talks about beholding God's glory. He also talks about us undergoing a continuous transformation and reflecting the image of Christ. So he begins in that passage, the Apostle Paul, talking about unveiled faces and then contemplating the glory of God. You know, to fully grasp this passage, I want us to look at what the veil stood for. So I'll read from verse 12 before I get to verse 18. I'll read from the Bible I have here. Reading from verse 12, it says, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness and speech, unlike Moses." That will lead me to the first point I will make this morning. "Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Verse 17 says this, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And then he concludes with this verse, "But we all," talking about the New Testament believer, "we all," talking about those in the church, "we all," not about those who are outside the church. Outside the church, I mean those who are not saved. So he is talking about we all, not only African Christians, but we all, not only American Christians, we all, not only Pentecostals, we all, not only independents, we all, not only Methodists, we all, everyone who believes in Christ, we all, we are partakers of this transformation that he's spelling out here. And how do we do that? With unveiled face. And then we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And what is the mirror? The Word of God, isn't it? It's the Word of God. Remember, he says, "What man looks at himself or herself and then goes away and forgets who he is or how he looks?" And so is the Word of God. When we look to the mirror of God's Word, that's where the glory hits us, from where we receive the glory. then we are being transformed into the same image. What image? The image we are looking into, which is Christ. So we have to look somewhere for us to be transformed like what we are looking at. And we become what we look at. I always tell young people, don't spend time looking at what will stay with you and, you know, produce some negative thoughts and things with you. You know, some people spend time today on their phones and on social media. They spend so much time looking at the wrong things, and they think it's the thing, the in thing. And sometimes when you talk to some people, they will think you are old school. But yeah, what we constantly look at, we become. What we constantly look at. So we behold us in a mirror. So what was the historical context? Moses wore a veil after meeting God. And when he will always come out from that meeting, the glory of God will be on his face, and they couldn't look at him because of the glory radiating from him being with the Lord. And then what will he do? He will put on a veil to just cover his face for that moment. And the veil represents for me the fading of the old system. The veil prevented people from receiving the understanding of Christ in the scriptures. And the veil sometimes could be the hardness of their hearts, their pride. Yeah, we are too proud. We don't want to listen to you. We don't want to receive the raw word of God. We just want you to cover them up. We just want you, you know, the Bible says in the last days, men, people will put to themselves people that will speak to them what they want to hear. They wouldn't want any preacher of the world or any Christian, for that matter, to say to them what is the real thing, but what they will only want to hear. And so the veil could be our pride. The veil could be our hardness of hearts. The veil could be our refusal to repent, our refusal to make amends when we are told what we should do. So the veil kept them from understanding the type of Christ in the new, in the Old Testament. And this is in Exodus chapter 34 from verse 29. He says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what he had been commanded. They saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses put on the veil back over his face until he went to speak with the Lord again. So this is a type of what prevents us when we are not in Christ from receiving the Lord. But again, when we receive Christ, this veil is removed. Just like I brought to us last Sunday when David prayed and asked the Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. We don't have to ask like he did because we have the Holy Spirit permanently in us as New Testament believers. But we have to make ourselves aware of his presence. And so Christ removes the veil. You remember in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when we are in Christ, no condemnation. We are not condemned. But we have to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. So we all, with unveiled faces, we are now in Christ. We don't have any hardness of heart. And for me, unveiled faces also could be transparency with the Lord, because he knows me anyway. He knows me. If I heard anything from him, he knows me. He would say, what is Henry all about? I know him. With unveiled faces, sometimes could be, oh, Lord, this is how I am. This is who I am. You know me in and out. I just want to be very open to you. For us to receive from the Lord, we don't have to hide some part of us and come to him pretending like a macho man or macho woman. You know, we are supermen. We are vulnerable. We have to make ourselves, oh, Lord, this is who I am. So for me, unveiled faces could be, you know, pointing to the fact that for me to contemplate, you know, to receive from God, let me come as I am. But when I come, I contemplate the Lord's glory. And when I do, I am being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. The transformation goes back to what we do. When the apostle says to the Romans, the church in Rome, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. So the word transformed in Romans 12 and the word transformed in 2 Corinthians 3 is like metamorphosis. It's like what the butterfly goes through. And what's my point? It's a process. It's a process. No one becomes perfect overnight. No person grows to a big Christian one day and the other. He becomes a big preacher. No. The Lord takes us through a process. And sometimes painful process. Painful in the sense that, yes, he does it sometimes. This is not the way I want it, Lord. But yes, I answer you the way I want and the way I know is good for you. So we are being transformed. It's a present continuous, isn't it? We have not been transformed. We're not going to be transformed. We are being transformed. So as we contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed. And so don't let the devil or the enemy tell you, you are no good. You've been coming to church for 60 years. You are not good. No, it's a process. We are being transformed day by day. As we come to church, as we fellowship with others, as we interact with the world, remember I said for myself, I don't just read the word, I interact with the word of God. As we interact with the scriptures, as we interact with the word of God, we are being transformed. And we are not where we used to be. Yeah? But we know we are going somewhere. I was driving last week, and I was in the spirit, and I was sharing with Anita. And I said to her, you remember Graham quoted this from John Newton, I think? John Newton, yeah? And I said to her, this is what I'm bringing into this. The distance I have traveled is greater than the distance I'm going to travel. Yeah? I am not where I used to be. But even though I'm not where I have to be, I need to be, I want to be, I really pray to be, but the distance I have traveled is greater. I've left so many things. It's just left with a very short distance for me to get to the place. But I don't know how long that will be. But what I'm saying is that we've left somewhere, but we are being transformed. And we are being transformed with ever-increasing glory. And where does the transformation come from? Which comes from the Lord. The transformation does not come from South Coast Family Church. Yeah. Transformation doesn't come from Henry. Well, that's the least place the transformation will come from. The transformation comes from the Lord. And who is the Lord? He is the Spirit. And why did he say that? Remember, he said in verse 17, if you come to the Lord, you are in the Spirit and you have liberty. Let me read verse 17 again for us in where we before we got to the previous verse. Now the Lord is Spirit. If you have it in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Liberty to sin? No. Liberty to do what you want? No. But liberty as in the fact that you are now freed to obey the Lord. You are freed to obey the Lord. You are at liberty. You are not bound anymore with this veil that used to prevent them from contemplating the glory of God. But now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit of God is here. Praise God. I know it. We know it. We believe it. God's Spirit is ever present with us. And so when the Spirit of God is here, we trust that we are loved. Praise God. We are accepted, we are forgiven, and we are freed to live for Him. So don't let anything at all tell you that you are not free any longer. You know, sometimes when we pray, we ask God to forgive us from the things that we've already asked Him before now. And there was a day very many years ago, I was sharing with a fellowship, and when I was telling them that sometimes it feels like the Lord will be like, what is she talking about? What is he talking about? You know, when you go on, God, forgive me for what I've done in 1960. Forgive me for what I did in 1959. Forgive me for... The Lord will say, I have forgiven her. I have forgiven him. You know, we need at that point to forgive ourselves. That's just what we need, to accept that we have been forgiven because Christ frees us. So that's the liberty we are given, being transformed, becoming like Christ, a progressive transformation, what some people call sanctification, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Not our duty to do that, not what we do for ourselves, but what the Holy Spirit does in us. You know, what we need to do is to make ourselves open to Him and journey with the Holy Spirit, take in all that He teaches us, receive from the Lord. Go through this metamorphosis like the butterfly does and become the beautiful person that God wants us to be, presenting ourselves daily as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Not like a dead sacrifice, but a living one, which means we have to keep on sacrificing every day. There is never a day we wake up and we say, oh, there is no more going to be any battles today in the spirit, I mean. But as long as we are alive, we'll always be up against things in the spirit. And it's like sometimes the more we conquer this way, they will come the other way. That's how you feel sometimes in the spirit. But the Lord is able. What did I say? The Lord is able. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I do believe that the Lord is able. So that's what we do as we undergo this transformation is not to conform to the pattern of this world. And we know the world wants us to believe in things and to gratify our flesh, and you know, to receive what we see and what we know we've proven. But when sometimes God calls us, He calls us onto the unknown, and the world wants us to see before we believe. But God says to us, believe when you see. But the world wants us to see, and that's why they say seeing is believing. But that's not how the world operates. It's not seeing is believing. But we believe what we see. And so we are transformed. How do we? By the renewing of our mind. And remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the mind he has given us. When we get ourselves renewed, that the Greek word, the renewing of the mind in this place is a Greek word called sophronismos. Sophronismos means a well-disciplined mind, well-disciplined. So God calls us to a place that we discipline our minds. What we dwell on, when we look at things, no matter the age, we might be 16, we might be 14, we might be 60, we might be 90, we grapple with these things as we are believers in Christ. How do we renew ourselves? By staying disciplined. By what we look at, what we receive, what we are told, we discipline ourselves. You know, there was a day I was fasting and praying and asking God to do this in my life and that. This is some time ago. The Lord said to me, my son, what you need is discipline, not more fasting. That's all you need. I've saved you. I've brought you to this place. You just need discipline in your life. You know, you just need to know boundaries and stick to it and say no when you need to say no and say yes when you need to say yes. That was my personal word from the Lord. And we renew our mind by disciplining our minds, staying on the word. When the enemy brings things our way, we tell ourselves, no, I'm not going to dwell on these negative things. I'm not going to dwell on this one. I will choose to dwell on positive things. When the enemy tells you some negative things about brother, about sister, just tell yourself, no, I'm not going to dwell on this one. Mind you, we all have got negative sides of ourselves. We all have got some, you know, good parts and bad parts. Sometimes it happens in relationships. The enemy will want you to dwell on the negative sides of your wife, your spouse, your husband, whoever it is. Tell him, no, I'm not going to dwell on that. Just like I close with this, as Karen was sharing this morning. And it's happened to me before when you were, you know, you are focused on where you were going. It happened to me a long time ago in Nigeria. And someone afterwards came to me and said, oh, you're too big that you couldn't even wait. And I was greeting, I was saying hello to you. And you were too full of yourself. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even notice you. Oh, am I too small? You can't notice me? You know, he wanted to drag it and drag it and drag it. I said, no, I'm sorry. I didn't notice you. I didn't see you because I was, you know, focused on where I was going. What am I saying? When the person went home and the next day I saw them, I was trying to greet them. They were trying to, you know, do the same that I did to them. They were still having it in their minds. They were still trying to pay me back in my own coin. You know, but sometimes we don't need to dwell on those things. And I do this deliberately sometimes. I choose to dwell on good things about that person. There has been some very good things about him or her. I choose deliberately because the Lord said I should renew my mind. I choose deliberately. Oh, he's been very good to me on this occasion. She's been very good on this. I dwell on that. I choose to dwell on that. I refuse to dwell on this negative one. You can't get me, devil. I love him. I love her. And I do that and on and on and on. Then love will now overcome the hates, the little hates that was trying to rear their ugly heads. Let us pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will help us, Lord, as we come to you, contemplating on your word. We pray, Lord, as we gaze on your word, and that we deepen our knowledge of your word, that we will become more and more like Jesus Christ. We are not there yet, Lord, we know. But we want to be like Jesus. Help us, Lord, as we day by day interact with your word, by your spirit, to deepen our walk with you. We pray that you will help us. We cannot do this on our own. And as we do, all the glory and honor will forever remain yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Right, so if we are able to...